Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:27, and that is on October 31st. Of course, and happy Halloween to anyone who's going out trick-or-treating this evening. And it has been a rather quiet day overall on markets. And that is despite the fact that there has been a substantial news flow, not least with the revelations that the FBI are once more investigating Hillary Clinton's emails and taking a more tangential approach on this occasion. But perhaps most important of all is that there's 650,000 of these emails, so it isn't likely that the FBI is going to be coming out with a conclusion before the election day, considering that it is 1 week tomorrow. And I guess what we are definitely seeing is people being a little bit reluctant to take on additional risk ahead of that announcement. So oil prices were down, Brent was down over $2 today, so certainly encountering resistance at the upper side of its range, pulling back towards the incremental progression of higher reaction lows. But it really will have to bounce in a dynamic fashion to curtail potential for a further test of underlying trading in here. This is still a very range-bound environment overall on oil prices. Rather interesting that General Electric decided to acquire Baker Hughes. They must be betting that the oil services sector is going to improve, and it might well do, but the question, of course, first is, will prices go down before they will go back up? I think it's probably a better deal for Baker Hughes than it is for GE, and it also calls into question GE's commitment to get back to its industrial roots. So I think we will have to hold judgment on whether it is actually, in fact, a good idea to be getting into oil services in an environment where there really is a lot of question marks over whether higher prices can be sustained beyond short term, not least when there is so much additional unconventional supply overhanging the market, and trying to get an agreement to cut supply when so many OPEC governments are deeply in the red is, I suppose, the equivalent is like herding cats. So it is still a very uncertain environment overall in the energy sector. That may have weighed somewhat on precious metals in here today, but they were generally unchanged. Gold was up about $1.50, but what it really needs is about a $30 day on the upside to really confirm that the shorts are being pressured and that demand is returning to dominance. But so far it has been reasonably steady in the region of the 200-day moving average, and this is a rather obvious area of potential support overall. And when we look at the wider continuous commodity index, and I think I've posted charts today of the continuous commodity index and Chinese consumer, or excuse me, producer prices. There was a rather popular news headline about 2 weeks ago saying that year over year that Chinese producer prices have gone up for the first time in 5 years. But if you in fact look at the chart, they've been rising all year. It's just that they have now moved to a new high or a new recovery high. And isn't it rather interesting that there is such a high degree of correlation this year between Chinese producer prices and commodity prices overall? It really would suggest that they are running on very tight margins indeed, and with the almost inexorable trend higher in labor costs coupled with higher commodity prices, because today we saw aluminium breaking out, and then tin, zinc, and lead continue to lead on the upside. Nickel looks like it is getting ready to break out, and so does copper. So these are important consumer or sorry consumables for the manufacturing sector. And it is also interesting that cement prices are moving higher, and of course it is because that there is increasing talk about fiscal spending, which will be directed at the infrastructure sector. So that is helping to lead a recovery in the resources sector overall, despite the fact that Rio Tinto has basically given away the Simandou project in Guinea, and it is yet another example of mining executives being 100% inept at buying at the right time, and even worse, selling at the worst time, because there is increasing evidence that iron ore prices have bottomed and they are getting rid of their portfolio of potential future assets at exactly the wrong time again. That it doesn't look particularly good for their medium term or medium to long term health, because they're handing China the keys to the potential to become a major iron ore producer in its own right. And of course, that will hamper demand for iron ore from Australia in the future. But that is largely beside the point in the short term, because that project isn't even remotely close to production at the current time. And the major miners are in a rather beneficial position right now, and they do all have these recovery trajectories in their chart patterns. There is a high degree of commonality there. And I think Japan stands out for mention in here today. The Nikkei was pretty much unchanged, but the yen is continuing to trade around that 105 area. The second section, which continues to lead, was at a new recovery high, and the banking sector is testing the upper side of an almost year-long range. Is certainly in the region of the 200-day moving average. Now, something that I am rather curious about, and it is looking increasingly that this may in fact be the case, is that I wonder, is are Japan and Europe now where the S&P 500 was in 2011? We are increasingly hearing signs from both Japan and from Europe that they are willing to keep their monetary accommodation at current levels for the foreseeable future, and in Japan's case, indefinitely. They've said that they want to keep the government bond yield for on the 10-year at zero until they get the result that they want. That's very similar to the kind of talk we were getting from 2011 from the Fed, talking about the potential for QE3 to be open-ended. And we know what happened with stocks after that. We had massive asset price inflation, and it followed a particularly volatile period of time. Well, we've certainly had the volatility in both Europe and Japan. And if the monetary authorities go for the same solution that the Fed did back in 2011, then we could be in for a couple of years of rather consistent trending activity overall. And of course, that would be contingent on their respective currencies moving lower. Now, the yen has weakened. It has moved to a new low. It hasn't quite unwound the overextension relative to the trend mean just yet, but a sustained move by the dollar above that trend mean would signal that it is back in a demand-dominated environment. The euro has been ranging against the dollar between about 105 and 115 for almost 2 years. It did break its progression of high reaction lows last week, and it was a bit steadier for most of the day today, but is actually finishing in very, very mild negative territory and closing out the day below 110. Now, if we were to see the lows from last week taken out, that would greatly increase the potential for the rate to go back down towards the 105. But considering that this range has been ongoing now for nearly 2 years already, then and it has been reasonably inert relative to the very large decline that we had seen previously, and now, because we have this downward bias having emerged over the last couple of weeks, well, who's to say that this isn't going to break downwards? If that were indeed the case, then we could anticipate that, for example, the Euro Stoxx 50, which is now right at the upper side of its range and testing the region of the moving average, would indeed break out. And the DAX index is leading on the upside, despite the fact that it was a little bit weaker in here today. It continues to consolidate mostly above the 10,000 level and the region of the 200-day moving average. And as long as it does that, then we can probably look to the DAX as an outperformer and a lead indicator for the wider European markets. The Italian index, which was among the weakest in here today, was down about just over 1%, and has found encountered at least short-term resistance in the region of its short of the upper side of its range. By and large, what we're seeing is that central banks are really pulling out all the stops in Europe and in Japan, whereas the US is further along in the cycle. They've made some very hard decisions earlier. They're reaping the benefits of them now. That is helping to support the dollar overall. But we do have this really rather large uncertainty at a number of sort of school events over the weekend. Most of what the parents wanted to talk about was Brexit, but not so much because they were particularly interested in what happens with the UK, but because of the surprise that the outcome had for the markets. And there has been some there's been a great deal of complacency about Hillary Clinton's victory, and we can still see that in the relatively inert environment that we've had on Wall Street over the last few weeks as well. But an election is a cause for uncertainty, and because we've had this inert environment, we know that these generally inert environments do not persist indefinitely. And I think it was interesting today that the VIX index was a little bit firmer as well. So I think we do have the potential that there could be some additional volatility in the next 10 trading sessions, both leading into the election and perhaps in the few days afterwards. Also interesting that some of the shares that were really very overextended do now appear to be at least pausing and potentially beginning to engage in processes of mean reversion. Amazon pulling back very sharply on Friday. It was certainly up in here today, but I think we are in for more ranging rather than trending overall. Then, you know, in China, where you had Tencent and NetEase, both which have been accelerating higher, and both do look like that they have encountered at least near-term resistance in here. But by and large, the sector which has some of the clearest uptrends overall are the resources, and that is perhaps where it will be easiest to make money in the next few months. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.